Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
And I've got the grace of God, and the grace of God is working with me every day. The grace of God enables me to take the right steps. The grace of God shows me what to do. The grace of God enables me to do it. The grace of God means that He is with me to help me, to encourage me, to build me up, to keep me looking ahead. So He's equipped us in every way. We've got His mercy. We've got His grace. Now He says to us, fix your eyes on me. In other words, look where you're going. That's what that means. Fix your eyes on Jesus means look where you're going. Don't look back. Don't look to the sides. Definitely don't look back, because you can't walk in a straight line when you look back. You see? You're like a drunken man if you look back. So Jesus says, don't look back. That's never God's purpose. It's actually a command in Scripture not to look back. So we look forward, right? Praise God. So the answers to whatever situation we're in are always in Jesus. They're never in the past. So the answers are always in the truth. They're not in the past. Whatever in the past is behind us. It's dead, buried, finished with. Now you are a new creation. So what you were as an old creation can't help you to live as a new creation. That's dead, buried, finished with. And now you're made new in Him. Hallelujah. Right. So I have His mercy, I have His grace, I have His wisdom. Yeah. And His wisdom means that He is my holiness, He is my righteousness, He is my redemption. Now, when you boil all that down, what it really means in practice is this. I don't have to try to walk in the right way. If I keep my eyes on Him, He will ensure that I walk in the right way. Because He, the one who lives in me, is my righteousness. He's not asking me to try to create a righteousness of my own, but He's saying, I want you to live in my righteousness. I'm not wanting you to try to be holy. I want you to know that I am your holiness, so I enable your walk in holiness. Now, that sounds, doesn't that sound spiritual? A walk in holiness. Well, it is. That's why it sounds spiritual, because it is spiritual. But what does it mean? What is a life of holiness? It's very, very, very simple, actually. It's just a life like Jesus. I mean, who lived the holy life here on earth? Jesus. What does it mean in practice? It means you walk submitted to His will. Yeah. It means you walk by faith. Yeah. You walk in love. Yeah. And you walk with hope. That's what it means in practice, you see. So you can have a holy walk, right? It doesn't mean you'll always feel holy. You might not always think in a holy way. And I can assure you, I can give you every encouragement to know that you don't look holy always. But how you appear is not the point, is it? I mean, what would a holy person look like? I mean, you see, we're not talking about a holiness movement where you have long skirts and long faces to go with them. And everybody thinks holiness is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. No, holiness is you will. Right. You will. You will. It's not you will not, it's you will. See, that's holiness. Jesus didn't live by a whole lot of you will nots. He lived by the will of God. And when you live by the will of God, you will. Not you won't, but you will. Hallelujah. So we've got the mercy, we've got the grace, we've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've got Jesus there walking ahead of us. Because He is a shepherd, and we know His voice, and as the sheep, we follow Him. Okay, let's get back now to God. He looks at all His children all over the world. Every one of them is called to walk in this way. This is what Paul calls a high calling, because he doesn't have a low calling for anyone. He only has a high calling for you because he's the God Most High. He's not the God Most Low. So because he's the God Most High, he only has a high calling. He doesn't have a low calling. Is that all right? Okay. So God has all these children all over the world, and sort of odd groups of these children, which are called churches. And he sees all these groups of people. Now, God could look at what he sees and weep, couldn't he? He could say, goodness me, they're so far short of what I intend. He could look at so many churches that are involved in flower festivals, this, that, and the other, rather than in the walk. Hello? And he could say, what are they doing? Perhaps you think I'm against flower festivals. Right. You can have flower festivals, but that's not what the church is called to do. Right? The church is called to win the world for the gospel of the kingdom. Okay. Now, oh, but they're so beautiful, the flowers. Good, well, enjoy them, but get on with your walk. Just enjoy Jesus. Hallelujah. I could tell you a bit more about that. But now, right, so God could despair that his children get so involved in so many activities that have got nothing to do with the walk. That actually they've got nothing to do with his purpose. That so many of these groups of people have actually created a purpose for themselves to try to create an identity that is pleasing to them or is comfortable to them. And, you know, as God, if we were God, we'd probably despair and say, oh, goodness me. But he doesn't. He doesn't give up on anyone. He doesn't give up on any of these churches. He says, right, well, what we'll do is we'll have a bit of reformation. And we'll see people's lives transformed, and we'll see churches transformed. Now, that doesn't mean that every life will be transformed, because not every believer will want to be transformed. It doesn't mean every church will be transformed, because not every church will want to be transformed. In other words, not every person will want the will of God, and not every church will want the will of God. But when God moves by the Spirit like this, the desires of many will change. When they really understand, because there's a lot of people that do not understand the will of God, because nobody's ever told them. They don't understand all this stuff. They don't. They just sort of go to church and think they've blessed the Lord by going to church, and you know, they sort of say their prayers because they want God to do stuff for them, and they think, and you know, they read their Bible and do the odd work, and they think that's what it's all about. And nobody's really told them that all those things are involved, but that's not what it's all about. What it's about is being the people of God, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. It's fulfilling God's kingdom purposes. It's letting his kingdom come and his will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. So we don't judge churches that have flower festivals or jumble sales or whatever other stuff they want to get up to. It's not for our place to judge them. Our place is to fulfill what God is asking of us and trust that that will be a bit of a witness to a few other churches and for people to see the benefits of really doing stuff God's way instead of substituting his way with our ways. Are you there? So, you know, God sees all these, he sees some great churches. Oh, he sees some churches glorifying him because he's glorified in the fruit that is produced by believers. And he looks at those that are winning people and meeting needs and reaching out in love and blessing other people, really being witnesses in the world. And he's pleased. He's not grieved over the whole situation. He's pleased with all those who are really responding to his will. Those that have caught the vision of what he desires them to be in their personal lives and what he desires them to be in their corporate life as the church, he's so pleased, he's so encouraged. And yet he sees they get things wrong, but he knows that's all right, they're doing a good job. I'm pleased with them. I'm pleased with all the fruit that they're producing. I'm pleased with everything that's blessing me and glorifying me in their lives. I'm pleased that they're making progress, that they've been changed from one degree of glory to another, to another, to another. Yeah, they've got a way to go, but I'm so pleased with what they've allowed me to do so far. Because he's the great encourager, isn't he? Mm-hmm. So, it's not all doom and gloom and despair and despondency. God knows that he's actually working out his purpose. He knows it's got nothing to do with the size of the church, because there can be some big, big churches of many thousands of people that aren't actually walking like this. But they just meet every week for God to bless them. And they're not necessarily living as disciples. And you can have a relatively small church where everybody's absolutely sold out for God. They're bearing so much fruit. God is blessing them. God is using them. And God is so pleased with them. You don't determine faithfulness and fruitfulness from the size of a church, but from what the church does. Amen? You see, the effectiveness of a church is not what happens on Sunday, but what happens from Monday to Saturday. Yeah, right. Sunday is just a celebration of everything else that God is doing, right. Yeah. And a preparation for what he's going to do the following week. Right. Amen? So, here we are then. We're on this walk. We've got the mercy when we need it. We've got all the grace we need. His grace is always sufficient for us to enable us to take the next step to fulfill his will. We've committed ourselves to his will. We're a people of faith, so we've got our eyes fixed on him. We're seeking to be open to hear that voice of the Spirit, testing everything that we hear to make sure that it really is of God. And then, of course, out of our great love for him, something else is happening. And this is the point, you see. The more you look at him, the more you love him. Huh? And that love is the key to this walk. See, Paul says, these three things remain, which we quoted just now: faith, hope, and love. But I didn't quote the next sentence. And the greatest of these is love. This has to be a walk of love. Faith, walking through love. Hope, because our eyes are fixed on the one who loves. And that is so essential, because that love that is his love is what has to be reproduced in us all the way through this walk. That we're loving him by obeying him, that we're loving all the people that he causes to come into our orbit day by day, whether they're believers or whether they're non-believers, even our enemies he's called us to love. So it doesn't matter who they are, we are to be those who love. Now, the more we look at him, the more we consider all that he has done for us, the more we get into his word and the revelation of truth that is there, the more our love for Jesus. And this is the thing. The greater our love, the greater our obedience. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. You will obey my commands. And Jesus said, you will continue to live in me if you obey my commands. You will continue in my love if you obey my commands. Then he says this extraordinary thing, just as I continued in my Father's love because I obeyed his commands. So, look, let's just go back now, right? And look, not from our walk, but Jesus' walk. This is how he walked. Eyes on the Father, right? He didn't need the mercy because he never sinned. But his eyes are fixed on his will. I have not come to do my own will. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. And he prayed, not my will, but yours be done, even when that was going to lead him to the cross. So here is a will totally submitted to the will of his Father. I haven't come to walk in my own ways. I've been sent to outwork the will of my Father. And why did he do that? Because he loved the Father. And their unity was such that he could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, you see, Paul says, well, actually, if I look at myself, I see I'm a pretty poor reflection of Jesus. Now, he was a pretty good Christian, wasn't he? We would have said, Paul, yeah, you know, wrote a third of the New Testament. Must have had something going for him. But, you know, when he looks at himself, he says, oh, compared with Jesus, there's just such a disparity. But nevertheless, you see, Paul didn't lose hope because he said, forgetting what lies behind, I'm reaching out for what lies ahead. Why? Because what lies ahead is your hope. See, that's what Paul was saying in this first scripture. Let's listen to it again. So I pray that this God of hope, who keeps us looking expectantly to the future, will fill you with his joy and peace as you continue by faith in him. So you continue in him by faith. Why? Because God keeps you walking in him, in his love, because you love him and so obey him. Hallelujah. And you see, what Jesus promises, that all those who continue to live in him, walking on this way with him, will bear much fruit for his glory. So this is actually extraordinary, but it is a walk along the way. It's a walk in God's glory. And because we're being transformed into his likeness, it gets more and more and more glorious until we come to the final stage when we're made totally like him in his glory. Is this good or is this good? So, what does God want to say to us this morning through all this? Well, first of all, you are a people of hope. That's not just that you're hoping for the best, but you know that if you faithfully follow in the way that I'm leading you, right, the hope that I have for you as your heavenly Father will be fulfilled. And the plan and purpose that I had in calling you to be my child will be fully outworked, and you will bear much fruit for my glory, and many other people will be impacted by the light of my truth that shines out of your life, because the more glory, the more light, and the more light, the more effect upon those who are living and walking in darkness. So isn't it a wonderful plan that God has, you know? And he knows none of you can do it, can you, without me. Therefore, the only way you can do it is in dependence upon me. He knows it's totally impossible. The whole thing is totally impossible without dependence upon him. So, you know, I'm sure it saddens him when he sees Christians and even churches that are not really, don't sort of seem to have vision, do they, for all of this? I know that's true because I've ministered around churches all my life. And you know the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And if I can see that, I'm sure God can see it even more clearly. But you see, God doesn't give up. All right? He doesn't give up on anyone. He says, no, I've called you to be my children. So all the time, my mercy is available. All the time, my grace is available. All the time, you have the anointing. All the time, you have my word. All the time, my spirit will lead you in the way that he wants you to go. Hallelujah. All the time, you can keep your eyes on me. The love will increase. Your obedience will increase. Your glory will increase. Your fruitfulness will increase. It's a life of increase. See? And sometimes, you know, you can look at yourself like Paul does and say, well, I don't know that I can see much increase. Well, the reason for that is you're going through a pruning period. Because the Father prunes the branches of the vine to make them more fruitful. So, you know, you might want to say to yourself, oh, God, I want to see you do so much more in my life. I want to see you do so much more through my life. So he says, right, well, let's do a little bit of pruning then, shall we? Let's prune out some of the stuff that's getting in the way of that so that you can then flow in the good of the anointing that I've already given you. Because, you know, you have the anointing, you have the power, you have everything that you're going to hear in those two messages on Wednesday. You have all that. But there's some stuff that you still have that I don't want you to have. And that gets in the way of the walk. Right? So I want you to walk boldly, confidently, strongly. Yes? I want you to walk with the absolute assurance that my purpose for you will be fulfilled. And no devil, no demon, no other person, and not even you yourself will prevent me from fulfilling in you what I've determined to do in you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, shall we? Praise God. Okay, now let's join with Paul in his prayer. So I pray that this God of hope, who keeps us looking expectantly to the future, will fill you with his joy and peace as you continue to live by faith in him. May the power of the Holy Spirit work in you in such a way that you will always overflow with hope, expecting God's best. Now let's just focus on Jesus. Thank him that God's purpose for you is his best. That he is the God of all hope. Hallelujah. So he doesn't hope for the best in the sense, you know, that the world does with a question mark. He says, no, have your hope in me and live in my best. Look to your future with great expectation. Doesn't matter the past is behind you. Where you are now is facing your future. And for your future, I have great expectations for you. So the Lord is saying, thank me now for the expectations I have for you as a church. I'm increasing those, your revelation of those expectations all the time. As you seek me, as you wait upon me during these days of prayer, I am increasing your sense of expectation. And the Lord is saying, I want to increase that expectation in each one of you. He says, I want to increase that expectation in my whole church, wherever there are churches, no matter what they're doing now. I want to bring them into line with my will and with my purpose so they are devoted to the work of my kingdom and they're seeking to outwork my will, not their own church agendas. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, like Paul, you might say, well, when I look at myself in a mirror, I don't see much of Jesus. And that can be a little bit discouraging at times. I'm only a poor reflection of what God intends me to be. Now, I don't want you to despair about that. I want you to say, but thank you, Lord. Your grace is sufficient for me. And your power is made perfect in my weakness. And your mercy is available to me every day. So that when I fail or step out of your will, you don't judge me, you don't condemn me, but you forgive me. You set my feet back on the right course. You encourage me by your word and your spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Some of you may say, Lord, forgive me for keep looking back. You might want to say, Lord, forgive me for keep looking at myself. Because you see, if you keep looking at yourself, it's because you're concerned with yourself rather than with Him. But the more you look at Him, the less you'll be concerned about yourself. See, the more you look at Him, He'll look after you and the outworking of His will and purpose in your life. So you might need to say, Lord, just forgive me for being so obsessed with myself. I want to become obsessed with you. I want to fix my eyes on you, not just glance at you for a few minutes every now and again. I want to keep my eyes fixed on you. Thank you that you're my shepherd and I'm one of your sheep and I know your voice and I'm following you. Thank you, Lord, that you are directing from heaven your Holy Spirit who lives in me. You're directing Him to lead me day by day in the way that you want me to go. So, Lord, I'm asking you that I will be ever more conscious of the voice of your Spirit, discerning what is truly of your Spirit and what is not. And Lord, I want out of my love for you to be obedient to every prompting of your Spirit so that each step of the way, I will honor you, I will glorify you by demonstrating that I love you by doing whatever you ask of me, by obeying your commands. And Father, for all my weakness and all my failure, I am a person of hope. And I believe that you are going to be glorified more in my life because I'm going to bear more fruit. And it'll be fruit that lasts, fruit of eternal significance, because it's going to be the work of your Spirit within me. So I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Come on, let's really thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him a great shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.